Good morning to everyone. Crowd is a little off this morning, and understandably so. I said last Sunday, if you remember, it was about 64 degrees and the sun was shining. It was beautiful. But if you didn't like the weather in Kentucky, to stick around, it would change. You'll get something maybe that you like, so it's done that. We see a good variety of weather in the good old state of Kentucky. But you don't have to look too far to see where they have it a little bit worse than we do. In North Carolina, they got hammered really hard, and they're not probably as tolerant or used to it as we are, so they're probably thinking that they're really in a bad weather situation down there this morning. So, again, you never have to look too far to see someone who's dealing with a little bit worse situation than what you are, whether it be the weather or the health or whatever other crisis that you might find yourself in. This morning, I'm going to look at for just a few moments the ideal of being rooted and being rooted in Jesus Christ. I thought about as I thought about this lesson, I thought about how that trees are so important to our sustainability. They produce a lot of things that we eat and consume to sustain our physical bodies, and they produce oxygen, as I understand it, and they're just a vital part of our sustainability. And I thought about making comparisons to how that as we as Christians, as we grow and as we mature, much like a tree, that is a slow process. I remember several years ago I had a fellow, I believe he attended church here, his name was Frank Brown, and he came and appraised some trees for me because I was considering cutting them to pay off debt or mortgage on the farm to lower, you know, to stop interest. And I thought, well, I'll just get him to appraise them, and since I don't know that much about trees, and he came and looked, and he said, there's no way I would cut this timber. And I said, well, how come, Frank? And he said, well, it's just now at the size that it will grow and gain a lot of value. A lot of the trees were like 20 inches in there, and he said, it'll gain a lot of value. And he said, you'll be surprised how fast that it will gain. He said, I think it will outrun anything that it would save you to harvest it. So that there I had an informed person who knew a lot about timber, so I could make an informed decision, and I decided not to cut it, and it's still standing there, and that's probably been 10 or 12 years ago, so it has gained a lot then. But the point is trees do grow slow generally. I don't know those trees that are standing out there that the blacktop's been poured around are probably at least 100 years old, but they're grounded. They're rooted very, very deep in the soil. And the reason that they have been able to sustain the storms that have come through here, the strong winds, the ice storms, and things of that nature is because they're rooted and they're grounded. They have a lot of stability. They have a lot of maturity. They have a lot of strength. I remember when we first bought our place, there was a big tree that stood real close to the house. And I hired Wes Hargis with his backhoe to come and we cut that tree down, and we was going to dig it out by the roots. And the time we got it dug out, well, there was a hole there big enough that I could have drove my sequoia down in it, and you couldn't see it. So it had a root. It was just humongous. And once we got it out, we were scratching our head and saying, what are we going to do with it now? And Wes had a little trailer there that he hauled his backhoe on at that time, and it wasn't really a heavy-duty backhoe, and it certainly wasn't a heavy-duty trailer. And I said, Wes, I don't believe I would. He said, I think I can roll that clump of roots and that stump over on my trailer and haul it back there on the farm somewhere and dump it all. I said, I don't think I would do that. I said, I think that's a lot heavier than what you think it is, and I think it's going to mash your trailer into the ground. Oh, it'll be okay. Well, he did manage to take the boom on the backhoe and roll it over on his trailer. When it did, the frame on the trailer went like this, and it mashed it down into the ground. He hurried around to roll it back off of it as if that was going to stop the damage. Point being is that was a big clump of roots. I had to get a machine remover, which was my brother, to bring a rollback with a 20-ton winch on it to pull that thing up on there and to move it. We took 200-horsepower tractors and hooked to it and couldn't move it. Couldn't even budge it. The tractors would spin and rear up. And I thought, man, I've got a monster here, and I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm saying all that to say that tree had a humongous, it was probably a 36-inch across tree, and it had a humongous root system. And I realized that that is what kept that tree so strong and how that it stood there. Sometimes you look at a tree and you think, well, how does it survive the wind and the pressure that's on it? But it's because they have such a good root system and they're grounded and they're rooted in the soil. Well, I'd like this morning, if we could, to kind of think of the soil as being God's love and think of us as being that tree. And ask ourselves the question as we look at this lesson this morning, are we rooted and grounded in that as we need to be, so that when the storms of life come, and they will come, can we stand there and take those things? And again, I think it's a thought-provoking lesson. I think it's one that would be beneficial for us. Over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "Let your roots grow down into Him," speaking of Christ, "and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." And again, the ideal is the more that we grow, then the longer that we grow and the longer that we stand, we should be becoming stronger. We should be becoming more grounded and rooted in our faith. We shouldn't become weaker. We should become more mature, and we should become more grounded in that. And our root system should be good, knowing that what we're building upon, what our strength is drawn from the love of God. And that way we'll be strong as God would have us to be, and we'll be a person that's ready and willing to try to share that or broadcast that to other people that we come in contact with. So again, just kind of make a comparison about how that Christians grow and how that trees grow, and there is a lot of similarities. You remember the parable of the sower over in Luke 18:13, and it says, "There are they on the rock, or are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away." You know, in my lifetime as a Christian, I've seen many people that fit this exact example. They've come to know the Lord, they've obeyed the gospel, they've become a Christian, and for a while they serve God. But because they have no root, they haven't been grounded, they haven't been settled in the Lord, something comes along, some reason or another, and they decide that they can't walk the Christian walk. And I know many of y'all have seen that as well. And again, it takes time. Adam Littmer, back in the spring, he had our meeting, and he pointed out that his lessons were about growing Christianity. And you remember the little seedling that he had up on the board, if you recall that, how fragile that was, and how little it would take to destroy that, and how little it would take because it didn't have much root system, because it hadn't grown to a point of having much root system. But over time, that root system should expand, and it should become something that's growing and becoming stronger, just as you and I as Christians should be doing the same thing. If we're not, we need to ask ourselves the question, why am I not as grounded and rooted in my Christian faith? Why am I not grounded and rooted in God as I ought to be? And sometimes you hear people make statements that indicate that they're not grounded and rooted. And it may be someone that's been a Christian for a long time, but something will come their way and it will cause them to question. It will cause them to maybe question God. It will cause them maybe to question their faith towards God. And you see that there's a lack of root there. There's a lack of depth of root. And it's a time when they may fall away. They may not be able to sustain their Christianity and their godliness. We all need to be encouraging to people when we hear them in those situations. And we know, as I said before, storms of life are going to come. You can go ahead and mark that down. We're going to have to endure things. And this physical life that we would rather not have to endure. But do we have the root to sustain us? Do we have the root to withstand the storms that will come our way? And we need to be working on that and understanding where that strength comes from. Over in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." And again, to break that down a little bit more, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts, not a purpose clause, but runs parallel to the works of the spirits and the spirit's empowerment. You know, we've had a lot of lessons here that we need to be doing the works of the Spirit, and we need to be producing the fruits of the Spirit. As faith increases, Christ becomes more central to one's personality, their thoughts, their will, their emotions. If we're rooted botanically and grounded architecturally, God's love, again, is the soul. Do we understand that as His people? Do we understand that there has to be some growing going on? There has to be some strengthening going on as we go down through life? I pulled a slide up of some big redwood trees out. I'm assuming they're in California. And you see those redwood forests and what massive trees and the height of those trees and the diameter of those trees. And some of them are just humongous, unbelievable. And you think about, when you think about the age of some of those trees, and I don't know what they would be, but some of them are probably 200 plus years old. And you think about all that they've seen, all that they've withstood as far as storms, changing of weather, heat and cold and different environmental situations, and yet they still stand there. And as you think about a forest, it kind of reminds me of a bunch of Christians, that there's strength in numbers, because whenever we stand together, just like these big redwoods, we can draw strength from one another, can't we? Whenever that wind hits on one side, it has a harder time getting to the other side. Why? Because of the strength of the first trees that it comes to. I remember whenever we bought our place in about 1990, I wanted to set some pine trees, some white pine trees along the side of the lower side of our yard. And Mary Todd at that time was producing some seedlings, and we went over there and we bought several white pine seedlings, and they were about 5 or 6 foot tall. And we set those trees out to, for one thing, to make a little bit of privacy when you were out in the yard there at our house from the road, and another thing to keep the wind from being so bearing down on the house out of the west. Well, when we first set those out, of course, you have to drive down some stakes and you have to pull strings, and there's quite a bit of work and nursing goes into getting those trees started, because why? They don't have the root system. They're not sustainable yet, because they don't have much root attached to the ground. They've not embedded into the ground yet. Now those trees, some 30 years later, are about 40 feet tall, and they've served their purpose well, is why we set them there. And they're probably this big in diameter. And they provided a good wind block and a good privacy for when we're in our backyard and we'd rather not be seen, or whatever the case. And we understand that. We understand the strength that comes over time. And those trees now, if you was to go out there and dig one up, I'm sure it would have a very big root system. It takes a big root system to sustain it and to hold it up when those hard west winds start bearing down on them. But they have served their purpose well. Think about that in comparison to your Christian life. As you grow and as you mature, you should be able to withstand the storms of life. You should be able to withstand the winds and the temptations that come our way. And again, they're going to come. It's just part of being in this life. There's things that we're going to have to endure that we would rather not have to endure. But it does happen. And again, realize, just like these redwoods, what a root system they would have to sustain them. When you look at the height of those trees, just as you can look at these trees out here, they may not be as tall, but they have to have a humongous embedment in the ground, in the soil. And then compare that to your embedment into Christ and to His love and to our Father in Heaven, His love. And compare that and realize that that's where we draw our strength. It told us that in Colossians, and it tells us that in Ephesians as well. That's where we have to draw our strength, and we have to be embedded in His love, and we have to have it embedded in us. Over in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 5, it says, "The Lord is exalted, for He dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, and He will be the stability of your times." What are we talking about this morning? Again, we're talking about stability, are we not? We're talking about when the storms of life, when the temptations that we're going to have to endure in this life come our way, do we have stability, just like those pine trees over there beside of my house? Just like those big trees out there, they have a lot of stability. They've proven it. They have withstood the test of time. Do we, as God's people, as Christians, do we have that same type of stability? Or whenever things befall upon us, again, as we would rather not deal with, do people see our stability shake? Do they see it move? And I'm not saying that it's always easy. It's not. It's something that's tough. Just as it's tough for those trees to withstand what they withstand. But we realize that where our strength comes from is from the Lord. If we're getting it anywhere else, we're not going to have that stability. And you can talk to people in all walks of life, and they'll tell you this very thing, that oftentimes in discussing with them, they don't have the peace, they don't have the stability that Christians have. There's a reason for that. We need to understand that as His people. We need to get our stability from Him. And we need to understand, no matter what comes our way, if we go back to God for our stability, we'll be okay. In the Gospel of John chapter 15, this says verses 1 through 5, but for some reason the fifth verse was cut off, but I've got it turned here and I'll read it when I get down to it. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purchaseth it, that he may bring fruit forth more fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. In verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And again, sometimes our problem is that we get dependent upon ourselves and what it is that we can do and what it is that we can accomplish. And we kind of separate ourselves from the vine unknowingly or unaware of it. And we wonder why things get off course. He says that we have to stay attached to the vine, which is the root, which tells us and instructs us on how that we ought to live. And there's a lot of people that are doing a lot of good things, but they're not attached to this vine. Their root is not the same. It doesn't go to the same place to draw its strength and its nourishment as Christians. So we need to understand, if we're not attached to this vine, we're not going to accomplish what it is that He would want us to accomplish as far as bearing fruit. We might be bearing fruit, but it's not His fruit. It's not produced through Him. Over in Jeremiah in chapter 17 and verse 7, it says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of a drought and never fails, notice that, never fails to bear fruit. That's what God is expecting of us as His people, is to never fail in bearing fruit, to never let the storms of this life, the conditions of this life, cause us to not be producing fruit for Him. And sometimes it's in the adversities of life when we bear the best fruit, because people are watching. They're watching to see what we're going to do in our time of sorrow, in our time of grief, in our time of sadness, in our time of worry, in our time of temptation. They're watching to see. We'll see if this Christian is as strong as he thinks he is. We'll see if this Christian has the faith that he says he has. We'll notice if he's still going to keep bearing fruit for Christ after all these storms of life have come upon him. And again, that's when people sometimes notice it the most. We need to be aware of that and conscientious of that. Over in Romans chapter 11, there's an illustration given here, and I found this slide and I thought it was very good. I'd never seen one this good to make the point about the ideal how that the Israelites were cut off and the Gentiles were grafted in. And people who know horticulture and have actually tried this say that it worked very effectively, that you can put any kind of a limb into another tree that has a root of a different variety of tree, say a peach tree into an apple tree, and it will produce what the root is. It'll grow what the root produces. And that's amazing to me when you think about that. Well, as Christians, whenever we were grafted into Christ, whenever we become a child of His and we were grafted in, we too have to bear the fruit that He wants us to bear. It's not about us. It's not about what we want. As it points out in the reading, it says, through this act of blessing of the covenant, the unbeliever has become believers and have been grafted in among Israel, and now sharing the nourishing sap or olive oil from the olive root. Do not boast over those branches that fell off through unbelief. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root. Now, this is very important in our lesson. If you don't get anything else out of the lesson this morning, get this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. But branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if Yahweh did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. We talked about that this morning in our Bible class. We can have all the knowledge that is revealed in the Scriptures, but if we become arrogant with it, if we become self-centered with it, if we become look down our nose at other people who don't have Christianity, that don't know Christ, then it's to no avail. And He says you can quickly be removed and you can quickly be cut off, just like the Israelites, just like His chosen people. So don't Don't become arrogant with that which you know. Don't become arrogant and be a person that starts depending upon yourself and the knowledge that you have, because again, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You'll be what God wants you to be, and you'll accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. And when we get that settled in our mind, we was talking the other day, and I told a fellow, you know, a lot of things that I've done in my life that I thought, when I took a speculative view on something to try to make money with it, that I thought was a sure shot that it had to make money, it blew up in my face and it lost money. A lot of things that I wasn't too sure of and I kind of put in the Lord's hand and went ahead and done it, it turned out really good. And that convinced me that God is blessing me. It's not about how smart I am or how wise I am in making those decisions, but it's because God has chosen to bless me and to give me those things. And once I come to that realization, life is so much easier. You don't wear the stress of that decision-making process near as much when you realize that God is taking care of you. He's promised you that. He's promised that He'll provide for you if you seek after Him and His kingdom. So, again, realize where the support's coming from. Realize where you've got to be grounded and settled in. Let those roots run deep in God's love. Let them be intertwined. Let them be mingled together in God's love. And again, you'll become just like one of those big trees that has a lot of maturity, a lot of strength, and you'll become unmovable. You'll become a person that when people see you and see the things that you go through and they see that you have that stability, you'll have the influence that God would have you to have on them, and you'll have the influence on your family members, those that are closest to you. And I can think back of examples, and you all can too. People who were pillars in this community, pillars in this church, because they had that grounded and settled faith. They knew what they had to do to be the example that God would have them to be. And they went on to better things. And you and I can as well. There's a poem I'd like to share with you as I bring this lesson to a close. And I found this poem some 25 years ago. And it was probably talking about things of a physical nature. And there's different versions of it. This is the short version. But I think it could be very applicable to our spiritual maturity as well. It says, "The tree that never had to fight for sun and sky and air and light, but stood out in the open plain and always got its share of rain, never became a forest king, but lived and died a scrubby thing. Good timber does not grow with ease. The stronger the wind, the stronger the trees. The further the sky, the greater the length. The more the storm, the more the strength. By sun and cold, by rain and snow, in trees, in men, good timber grows." That was very inspirational to me, and I realized that there's a lot of physical application and material application of this, but it's also one that I thought was fitting for the lesson this morning to make us realize that we do have to go through some things in this life that we would rather not have to go through. But that shouldn't determine our Christian character. That shouldn't determine our Christian stability. That shouldn't determine our faith in God. Just know and understand that whenever we go through these things, we have to grow stronger and draw nearer to our Lord and Savior. And again, we've seen people that's underwent some really bad things, the loss of a child at a young age, and they withstood that. And whenever we see that, we realize that they've got a lot of stability. They've got a lot of strength. Their faith is in the right place. They don't let the things of this life easily shake them or move them. They've got the strength, and they're dependent upon the Lord. Now, this next slide may not be applicable here at the building. It probably is. It says, "Faith is like Wi-Fi. It's invisible, but it has the power to connect you to what you need." I thought that was kind of humorous. In a lot of places, it is true, and that's the way our faith needs to work. It may be invisible, but it has the power to connect us to everything that we need, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've never come to know Him and you've heard the gospel preached enough that you understand what is required of you to become a child of His, is you must be willing to come forward, making acknowledgement that He is the Son of the living God, making that good confession of faith. You must be willing to repent of your past sins, and you must be willing to be baptized to be raised up to walk in newness of life. If you've done that and for some reason or another you've slipped back into the ways of the world, for some reason you wasn't grounded and rooted and you let something uproot you and move you from where you was back to the world, from Christianity, from Christ back to the world, well, we give you the opportunity to come forward as well. We'll pray for you and with you, and you can take up your rightful place among God's people. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, we ask that you come as together we stand and as we sing.